Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Hi.
Hi, Ashley. I just saw you the other day.
You did just see me the other day. We made bracelets together.
We did. Taylor Swift themed bracelets. Speaking of Taylor Swift, I know we're in the time machine, but for us, it's only been a few days since her breakup. Rumors. Her breakup.
I know. We're saying rumors in air quotes because, to be honest,
big old air quotes.
It's Tree. Tree put that out there.
She's so on it. It's out of control. We could make an entire podcast about Tree herself.
We could. And for anyone who doesn't know who Tree is, that is Taylor's PR, social media guru, person in charge of every statement that comes out.
Yeah. Together, they have just masterminded.
Mastermound.
And they have just done incredible things. But yeah, so that's happening. We have theories, but it's not our place to talk about that.
I mean, hit us up if you do.
We have feelings about it. Of course.
Hit us up privately if you want to talk about it.
Yeah. We don't need to be putting that out there.
I was going to say, we're already in discussions about this kind of stuff with some of our patrons. So.
Mm-hmm. I just don't want to ruin my chances at becoming friends with Taylor Swift by openly talking a lot about her relationship. Taylor, I want you to know I really respect your privacy and I love you. And our moon from the day that we were born said that we'd be really good friends because it's both full moons. So what's
up? Did you do that on TikTok?
Absolutely, I did. I posted it too and tagged her in it. We'd be really, and I said, I would like to bake cookies. This is exactly how she became friends with Carly Kloss. They just have to be friends. They just have to be gluten-free cookies. That's all that's been going on with me. Taylor Swift.
I had something to say and I can't even remember now. We love her. We love her a lot. Oh, I remembered what I was going to say. I know whether the breakup rumors are true or not. I mean, if they are, I just am so excited for her to be single in her 30s and just doing her. Like, I'm so excited for her to be living for herself, you know? Like, that's so exciting in your 30s.
She's going to be 30, flirty, and thriving. And that's a dream I think we've all had. So, good for Taylor.
Still trying to find it. And I'm in my 30s.
Are you, which part are you looking for? We've got the 30 down. The flirty, I'm not good at that. The thriving, I think I'm getting there.
I think we're on our path to thriving.
I think I'm more thriving than flirty. Definitely 30, though. That's, I was gonna say, undeniable.
I flirt with my partner? I don't know. We don't really need that one, but God.
No, I want the whole package from the movie 13 Going on 30,
yes,
including
yes.
Mark Ruffalo. He needs to be included. Also.
Please. Please. That man is scrum diddlyumptious.
Okay. How are you? I could just like keep talking about celebrities I'm in love with. So let's. How are you? How are things?
I'm doing okay. My ankles do it. Hold on.
Do. I wish we had some sort of like hold music.
For every time I need to cough.
No, just like in general for like when we're like, oh shit, we need to go to the bathroom. Like, oh, just please hold. And then future Ashley can just like put in like a hold. And then when we come back, it's not like we don't have to think of like some fun way to, you know?
I feel like you should definitely talk to Jim about that.
I will talk to Jim about that.
Okay.
And yes. About a theme song, another theme song. We will actually, you know what? I want everyone to know that my incredible stepdad wrote a theme song for us and it was incredible.
It was
amazing.
It was so cool.
For reasons that we are in season 2, the theme song doesn't work anymore.
Yes.
We're working on another one with, again, my incredible stepdad. Shout out Jimmy Jam. Coolest dude ever.
I love him. Love him so much.
Just the fucking best.
When he asked Dan if he was a beating man, I died on the inside. It's like, this is a great interaction. Anyways, back to my update.
Yes.
My ankle's getting better. Swelling's going down. PT's going good. Love my PT people. They were like, oh, you're back.
What's up?
I'm like, listen, I got like a year. It really was. It's basically been a year since I saw them. And I was doing so well. But the swelling in my ankle has gone down so much. Like, I'm actually so surprised right now. Definitely still has some bruising, but I'm like walking without the cane. And it just gets like tired and sore, you know, as the day goes on. But that's what ice is for. So it's better progress than I thought it was going to be at this point, which is exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's very
so
awesome.
Here's hoping that I can still go on walks this summer, because it was hella nice today. And I'm very upset that I didn't get to like go outside and enjoy it.
I know. And I want you to come visit so you can come to the pool.
That would actually be so great for exercise.
Yeah, it's really solid. Okay, shit. Okay. My meds are just
I mean, other than that, oh, a New Jersey congressman followed me on Instagram today, and I'm surprised by it. Katie doesn't think
that's
I should
fucking
be
cool. I think it makes perfect sense. You're like running for government shit. You're like tight with Bonnie Watson Coleman. You're doing podcast shit. You're like interviewing congresspeople. He probably like wants to slide into that Gen Z audience we got, you know? So he's probably like, oh shit, what up? Hey.
I love that I want to call her my running mate. I mean, technically, but she's running for mayor, Roberta. I texted her and she goes, should hit him up for campaign donation. I was like, maybe I will.
Yeah. We'll craft something.
So that was pretty cool today. That happened while I was at work and I got the notification. I was like, who is this? And then I saw who it was and I was like, wait, what?
Well, because at first, a strange white man following you, you're like, wait, what the fuck does this person want?
I get those a lot because it's those weird troll, creepy older men accounts who try to hit on you. So I thought it was going to be like one of those because I saw the picture and I was like, oh, it's a congressman from my state.
Important.
So that was
networking
pretty cool.
Networking opportunity. Don't send angry DM.
No. Other than that,
hell yeah,
just regular day pretty much.
Hell yeah.
Do you want to just get into it? I don't know what you're talking about today because I couldn't remember.
You forgot. I know. I forgot. Which makes it even better. Well, this episode was not requested by Dreammaker Allie. This one is in fact dedicated to her, and she will know exactly why.
I'm mad that I forgot what you're talking about, but I'm so excited to learn.
Y'all know that I fucking love weird history. So today we're going to talk about a very unknown piece of the past that I just want to shout from the fucking rooftops. Let's crack open the Oyster Wars.
How did I forget about this?
Described by Wikipedia, quote, the Oyster Wars were a series of sometimes violent disputes between oyster pirates and authorities / legal watermen from Maryland and Virginia, end quote. And that is a goddamn hook if I've ever heard one.
Holy shit. It's not where I thought it was going.
Also, dibs on the movie rights, but I want it made by that like Jonah Hill, Jason Segel, Paul Rudd, Seth Rogen group of pals.
Yes.
But no James Franco.
Yeah.
No, fuck James Franco.
No James Franco.
But I want that group of people to make it.
Please. I'm here for it.
Okay. So let's get into it. The wars took place on the waters of the Chesapeake Bay and the Potomac River from 1865 until about 1959, y'all.
That's almost 100 years.
It's 100 years and like within our parents' lifetime, dude. Like, this is recently. I had never fucking heard of this in my entire life. I literally found this because someone on Twitter, random person tweeted, someone should make a podcast about the Oyster Wars. I was like, what the fuck is that? Here we are. Here we are. They were so goddamn right. The tension can be dated back as early as 1830, when the Maryland General Assembly passed legislation which authorized that only state residents can harbor oysters in its water. But before we get any further, we need to talk about why any of this fucking matters.
Tell us why we should care, Katie.
Money, baby. So these little edible pieces of money that had people all over the coast looking at the ocean with dollar signs in their eyes. After the Civil War, the oyster harvesting industry exploded. Because since people have been living next to the ocean, they've been eating oysters. And back in this time, they weren't the oysters that we know today. There were recorded up to 1 foot oysters.
That's actually kind of scary.
Like, these things were fucking massive, and they were all over the place. There had always been oystering in the Chesapeake Bay, but for a long time, there had been zero methods of preserving these oysters. In come the French with this crazy concept of canning our goods. And this idea hits New York, and it's brought down to Baltimore. The concept of cans? Just crazy. This was a groundbreaking discovery. And I know that when we have computers in our pockets, we're not super wowed, but it truly was everything. And it happened at the perfect time, because while cans are being introduced, so are railroads. This is like the weirdest combination of shit.
What a great way for them to make more money by shipping it to other places on the trains.
The ability to store food and bring them to places really quickly is a game-changing concept, especially when it came to oysters, something that's pretty notorious for going bad very, very fast. It is almost impossible for me to express how popular oysters were at the time. Because they were so abundant, they were in like every recipe. They were like the top thing that people were eating because it was abundant and thus cheap, and you could use it as like a cheap filler in any recipe that required extra meat.
Did it have, what's the like nutritional value of an oyster? Is it healthy for you?
It's definitely better than like red meat, heart-wise.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't say that it's like unhealthy.
Okay. I don't think I've ever thought about that.
No, I didn't even really look into it, if I'm being honest.
Well, as I asked the question, I was like, she probably did not look into that part of this.
No, I did not. From New England to the Gulf Coast, railroads allowed oyster harvesters to send their products to distant markets and quickly. This took the oyster market from just like a local thing to national. And if that wasn't enough, oystering tech itself is also rapidly expanding. Oyster boats are being created, making harvesting much, much easier. Now we need to talk about the process of collecting oysters. Did you know that there are two ways to grab them oysters? Because I had no fucking idea.
I had no idea. What did you just do? Scoop them up? Scoop them up with a bucket?
So we have tongers who go out in small boats and are able to like, and they literally like with the big sticks, go out and collect oysters, and they're able to harvest maybe 20 to 30 bushels of oysters a day. These are often poor people or previously enslaved Black people who lacked the income or ability to get a loan to secure themselves a larger vessel for massive oyster harvesting. There's also something known as dredging, which is basically a large boat with a claw attached at the back of it that you sink down to the bottom, and it just pulls up oysters.
Okay, scooping it up.
Just scoop, 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 scoop. It's one of the most common noises I make on this fucking podcast for some reason.
I was just thinking about that.
For some reason.
I was like, Katie's done that so many times in so many episodes.
With all of these weird puzzle pieces in place, the oyster market fucking boomed. An oyster boom. if you will. Massive amounts of jobs are created, and this is the fucking gold rush in the Atlantic. Like, it is out of control how much money people were making.
This is insane.
We're not even at the craziest fucking part, dude. With hordes of people taking to the ocean of Maryland, the government was probably like, fuck, we need to figure out a way to regulate this somehow. Because that's like our job as the government, right? So in 1865, they attempt to set up some sort of like licensing system as well as like rules and regulations. And they're like, okay, we need to figure out a way to make this fair. So Maryland wanted to reserve the shallow waters, the county waters, for the tongers to allow them a chance to partake in the riches that these oysters offered. Honest to God, a sentence I never fucking expected to say in my entire life.
Not during that time. I mean, I'm pretty shocked by that.
Just riches of oysters. Like, what the fuck? I don't even like oysters. But Allie loves oysters.
Okay.
So
thank you for letting me know that.
Yes, this is
it brings more context.
This is like right up her fuck. This weird history, small towns, pirates, and seafood. That's everything Allie could ever want.
Allie, I hope you like it.
I texted her and told her that I was doing this, and she was like, I'm so fucking pumped.
Yes. I'm happy for her. What an experience.
We talked about the oyster dredge and its large claw, but it's also, some of them aren't just claws. Some of them are also iron mesh bags dragged across the ocean. These boats are only supposed to stay in the state waters, which are the deeper waters once you get further out. But what the state was doing was asking rich white people to just boat over the shallow waters with these little nuggets of basically edible money, because oysters are so fucking valuable, and go harvest further and later. But if you're a dredger, you might accidentally drop that little bad boy a little bit earlier, and then someone might see you get away with that and do the same thing. And that continued to happen.
A lot. Hate people.
So we get larger vessels not following the rules. And tongers start seeing this and get pissed.
Rightfully fucking so.
It's not like they have the ability to compete with these large ships. All they can do is try and protect the area that's theirs. So they start getting weapons and popping off warning shots to any large vessels dredging in Tonger territory.
Good.
Basically, anywhere you find massive amounts of oysters and people harvesting them, you're now going to find gun battles between boats of people trying to lay claim to their territory of oysters.
This is so unhinged. Over oysters.
Oysters. It's gold, baby.
But it's also like, come on, it's the rich people. It's rich people's fault.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Maybe if you just stopped, then there wouldn't be fucking gunfights over oysters.
If it weren't for capitalism. Mm-hmm. And racism. Because truly, if they just gave these previously enslaved people a loan to get the ship, that then they could compete with the dredgers, this wouldn't have been a fucking problem.
That too.
But they wouldn't, so.
Many problems.
So many issues. But it's not like the dredgers can go to the police and be like, so we're breaking the law and people are shooting at us. Can you help? So they have to be sneakier about it. And what's the best way to be sneaky about things? Go at nighttime.
Night. Yes.
So now we have boats and the dredgers, dredger boats and tongers going out at nighttime, sneaking around, harvesting oysters, almost always ending in shooting battles.
And during that time, bro, it must have been dark. Like,
right?
Dark outside.
Right?
Do not have the city lights that we have now.
And you know people are drunk.
Oh, 100%.
You know it. This is not good.
No way they're not.
What is one way to, we can always count on things making, one thing we can always count on making things worse? The media. Newspapers start picking up these stories nationally.
Newsflash. Oh, boy.
Quote, oyster pirates breaking the law and murdering each other in a war for this delicious edible gold. End quote. So now.
This is too much.
Now people in towns are like scared of the oyster pirates. And like lore is being created in Maryland about the oyster pirates.
Okay.
And I'm sure that some people are sitting there and wondering, Katie, what the fuck? You said that the Maryland government was trying to regulate this. Where the fuck are they? Let's talk about what they did in 1865. Alongside the rules about where you can go, the idea was that the people who were supposed to enforce this were going to be the state fishery force, which colloquially became known as the Oyster Navy. Hunter Davidson, head of the Maryland Oyster Navy, and his amazing mustache.
Imagine that being your fucking job description.
Right? Like, that's how he's
known.
You
introduce yourself to people. Go to shake someone's hand, introduce yourself. I'm the head of the Oyster Navy.
The Oyster Navy, what's
up? I'm sorry, sir, what?
But the thing is like, at the time, that was incredible. Because oysters
it was such a problem.
The fucking gold rush. And this was such a goddamn problem. I hate our country, but I love it so much.
We sure do get incredible sources of entertainment throughout history in this country.
Truly. So Davidson is at his wit's end with everything that's going on. And he is like, all right, we really need to get involved and try and break up all of these open sea gun battles that are happening. They start kind of banding together and they're like, all right, we're here. We're watching everything. And this makes the large vessel oyster dredgers even more pissed. So they kind of like start playing the victim card, being like, oh, my God, you guys, like, we just cannot get all of the oysters we want. What are we going to do? So they retaliate by working together. Large oyster boats start becoming these fun gangs of boats going around the rivers that lead to the bay, and they block it off with a bunch of different boats and allow only a couple to go out at a time while the other ones are watching for the Oyster Navy.
This is ridiculous because now, when they all could just be out in the deep waters, all getting stuff, now they're taking turns. Like, you're not getting as many now. What are you doing?
They're getting more because they're all working together to be in places they're not supposed to be and taking from the tongers. And there's like a lot of people going. I mean, this is becoming an incredibly competitive market.
Oh my God. Look at what capitalism does to
what
us.
It's done. One notorious oyster pirate's name is Gus Rice, and he was the head of a very famous band of boats. He's known as a fighter, a brawler, and always looking for a loophole. Truly, that's a solid legacy. A fighter, a brawler, and always looking for a loophole.
Looking for a loophole.
Put looking for a loophole on my fucking tombstone. That is incredible.
Noted. I'll be your funeral agent.
Thank you. So yeah, Gus is like, you know, making sure everyone is hanging out in the shallow waters near the river, near the mouth, where they're not supposed to be. And then they would just keep going further downriver and allowing them to just pick everything up. And then people would just kind of like hang out in the back, just keeping watch and chilling. And then I think they would all like split something. I don't know. They had some sort of deal going on where they're making money. But then one fine day, the River Oyster Navy Patrol came in. And the boats keeping watch were like, oh, shit. So they started shooting their guns.
At the Oyster Navy?
Up in the air as, like,
okay,
an alert, sort of. Like, hey, everyone's coming. And it would allow everyone to disperse and not get caught breaking any laws and still take advantage of the system's lack of ships to patrol everywhere enough. So every time every time someone would come and get caught, it would just be one ship against seven. You know, no one's getting in trouble.
Yeah. There are zero checks and balances here.
Yeah. So Davidson goes to the state legislature in 1877 and he's like, guys, this is really not working out. We need money, more boats, crew, and just more in general to try and manage the waters, because the oyster wars are leaving people dead every day. Dude, people are dying daily. Our history is so crazy. Much weirder and more interesting than they ever told us. Why didn't I know about this?
Why did I not learn about this in school?
The concept of oyster pirates should not be new to us.
It should not be.
So this upsetting.
See, this is the kind of shit that I would have loved to learn about in school. It right? definitely would have kept me paying attention in history class, because I struggled with that.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Memorizing dates is really hard for me, and it made history very uninteresting. But now, I love learning about history.
Right? Davidson's pleas for help and supplies are finally fucking granted. And this dude gets a steamboat. The McLean. Which is now, you can actually go to the Baltimore Museum and go check it out. It's like chilling in the water outside that museum. You can go cool. scope that bad boy. So none of the oyster pirates know that this motherfucker just got a steamboat. One day in 1877, Gus Rice is at the mouth of the Chester River waiting for the oyster navy. He sees a steamer coming up, and having heard rumors that the oyster navy might have gotten one, they opened fire.
It was the wrong one, wasn't it?
It's not the McLean. It was just a passenger ship filled with women Idiots. And children. Who were just screaming at the situation. The news ends up getting back to Davidson, who sends up the McLean out at night and goes up the river. Full steam ahead, they blow into this large band of ships and end up sinking one of them. Just like...
I would have paid so much to see that happen.
I would have given anything. Now, I mentioned at the top of this episode that this was happening also in the Potomac River. So, things in Virginia are going just as poorly. Nothing is going well. So, not only are people in Maryland fighting against each other people in Maryland, but then there are also issues on the state lines between people from Virginia and Maryland. Because Virginia imposed licensing fees, seasonal limits, and other measures trying to prevent over-harvesting to preserve the oyster population.
Very smart.
They didn't super give a fuck about people. They were just like, guys, you are decimating the oyster population. Because tongers yes. can pick and choose what they pull from the ocean. Dredgers cannot. They're just pulling everything up.
Yeah.
That is fucking bad. The cash-strapped government in Virginia had limited enforcement capabilities, just like Maryland, but a little bit worse because it had actually sold off its 3-vessel maritime police fleet at auction. So they didn't have the ships that Maryland had. Violence broke out between oyster tongers and individual small boat oystermen. After violence broke out between oyster tongers and more affluent oyster dredgers, Virginia banned oyster dredging in 1879.
Okay.
So that is only 2 years after the fleet in Maryland has sort of bulked up everything. Can you kind of see where I'm heading?
Yeah.
This caused almost all of the dredgers in Virginia to move over to Maryland, adding more people, more guns, more pressure, and more danger to not only the Chesapeake Bay, but all of the rivers surrounding it as well.
Yes. I'm just like, not only are people dying, and this is crazy, but the environmental impact that this is having on the area is just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing.
We are used to such small oysters now because of how horribly decimated the Chesapeake Bay was. In the 1880s...
That is a beautiful, beautiful area.
Right? In the 1880s, the Chesapeake Bay was the source of almost half of the entire world's supply of oysters. I don't even know if we will ever be able to fathom what those waters were like during this time.
Wow, that must have been crazy.
Right? Kind of scary, too. Swimming wouldn't have been as fun. Maybe it would have been, because then you get oysters, and that's a lot of money. But they're so big. So scary. I don't like it.
Things in the water scare me. I don't like it.
It freaks me out.
It's a is why I don't go in the ocean.
From 1880 to 1910, oysters were harvested in massive quantities. During this time, as much as 160 million pounds of oyster meat, just the meat, was harvested per year.
Wow.
Yeah. I forgot that that was the number. Holy shit. So armed and organized dredgers, many from Maryland, started violating the ban in Virginia. They're like, you know what? Fuck this. There's too much going on in Maryland. We're just going to sneak over to Virginia at nighttime. And the governor, William E. Cameron, was like, you know what? This is a perfect media opportunity to take care of these pirates and boost my popularity. So he was like, his number one thing was, you know, we are against the illegal oyster pirates. That is like his whole spiel. So February 17th, 1882, Cameron's force, a tugboat named Victoria J. Pede, which is a really unfortunate name for a boat, and a freighter named Louisa. These two boats ended up engaging pirates at the mouth of the Rappahannock River. This raid resulted in the convictions of 41 dredgers and the forfeiture of 7 boats. And this was like the high point of the governor's term, and his popularity definitely rose. It did not last, though. Trying to regain his popularity that he lost, he goes on a second raid, but he was way too cocky about it this time. So cocky that he ended up bringing a bunch of press members with him on ship, hoping that they could capture the moments of his success.
Oh, no.
The world had other
plans. I feel
plans.
Like I know where this is going. Yeah.
They came across the ship known as the Dancing Molly, who was sitting in an inlet with some of the crew members gathering wood on shore. Chilling on the boat was the captain's wife and his two daughters. A newspaper from the time describes the encounter as follows. Quote, as the steady splash of the wheels of the Virginia steamer were distinctly heard, the plucky females determined to attempt to run the blockage and reach neutral waters, despite the 3 frowning cannons which were already visible. The race was nip and tuck between the Virginia gunboat and the piratical sloop, the first trying to reach the mouth of the inlet, where the latter was straining every sail to get out. The chase, which was witnessed from shore, was very exciting. And although the people on Virginia's side are sworn enemies of the oyster pirates, they really wished for the escape of the tiny craft. When the Dancing Molly got safely out, the group of Virginians chivalrously gave 3 cheers for the pirate's wife and 2 daughters. They got away.
It did not go where I thought it went, but I like this.
They got away. And for the rest of the raid, anyone else they did capture were either acquitted or escaped indictment at court.
Wow.
God bless those 3 pirates, though. Those 3 lady pirates. I love them.
Right.
So Cameron was even more fucking pissed about all of this. So he was determined to put an end to these oyster pirates, especially the ones who just made him look very, very bad. So he established the Board on the Chesapeake and its tributaries. The Board on the Chesapeake and its tributaries in 1884, which led to the improved law enforcement and better fishery management. So they started getting more money put into ending these oyster wars and making sure that they could watch all of the water and keep everything as safe for everyone as possible. And while that did help, what really took these down was not the laws, but rather the situations that came along with the rest of the Industrial Revolution. New inventions were making holding onto food for longer even easier. For example, refrigeration became way more accessible. The ability to preserve crabs, fish, and other things from the sea did as well, making those items more popular for people to pull from the ocean. Those were less dangerous to grab. If you're just fishing, no one is shooting at you over their oysters. The industry still employed about 38,000 fishermen nationwide at the time, whereas now it's about 5,000. The fact that oysters were so abundant made them inexpensive, which only boosted their popularity. But in 1909, oysters cost about as half as much as beef per pound. Oysters were used to add bulk to more expensive dishes, such as meat pies. But as refrigeration made other meats easier to hold on to and just as cheap, that began to drop. Because these were consumed in mass, the idea... Wait, what? This sentence is weird. Hold on. I didn't take this sentence out when I added that first one up top. Hold on. Regardless of how popular they were, the idea of the money that these oysters could make were considered no longer worth putting up with. At the same time, in the early 1900s, the downfall of the industry was beginning on its own. A combination of overharvesting and disease has depleted the once plentiful Atlantic oyster beds, dramatically decreasing the supply. Broader concerns about sanitation and hygiene led to the Pure Food Acts of 1906, which specifically targeted the oyster industry with new regulations. In 1924, In 1924, typhoid outbreaks in Chicago were tied to oyster exposed to sewage pollution, and after that, the demand for oysters fell between 50 and 80% across the country.
That's fucking nasty, dude.
Right? And in the 1920s, like, people were fucking dying. Like, that's not just like, oh no, my tummy hurts, I'm gonna go to the doctor. Like, people are dying.
It's like you're gonna fucking shit yourself to death.
Yeah, from oysters. Not worth it. The 1920s also brought prohibition, which took a toll on the oyster industry. The saloons and bars that once sold large quantities of oysters closed. Between the loss of these establishments and the various health scares, oysters fell out of fashion and have never regained their former status. Damn. It wasn't until 1959 that the Potomac River Fisheries Commissioner, H.C. Byrd, ordered the fisheries police disarmed after an officer killed a Virginia waterman who was illegally dredging. The move was credited with bringing an end to the violent conflicts. In case anyone was curious, while all of this was going on the East Coast, the areas known today as Texas, Arizona, and the border region of Wyoming and Colorado were dealing with something known as the Sheep and Cattle Wars, which I was planning on covering, but a lot of animals die, and I don't want to talk about that. So, if you're interested, there is a documentary on PBS, but I will not be doing an episode.
I can't fault you for that.
And that.
I also would not want to talk about that.
Yeah. I started watching it and I was like, oh, dear God, no. And turned it off. And that is the Oyster Wars of the 1800s.
Wow, Katie. Oysters, oyster pirates, oyster navies. That shit was unhinged in the best possible way.
The weirdest fucking history. Wow. I love it.
The weirdest fucking way. History is crazy.
Yeah.
We do crazy things here in this fucking country.
We really do. So I'm sending you some pictures.
Allie, right, I hope you liked that.
I hope you liked it. There are photos on Instagram.
There are pictures?
Just in, not any of anything specific.
Okay.
Yeah. Of nothing specific. But those will be on our Instagram. I wanted to send you those now so they can be on our Instagram.
Okay. Yay. All right. Well, that was amazing, Katie. Thank you.
For sure.
I feel like we needed a good lighter topic.
Yes. Yes. Until whatever my next topic is, I'm sure it'll be very dark.
All right, guys. We will see you next week.
Until then. Bye. For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.